بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.
We're going to start inshallah
from in the book of عمدة الفقه. Where we been a lot of you now are coming new to this lesson, a first time come to this lesson because the topic is interesting and you want to know about it, and that is honesty, and that's good, alhamdulillah, that's excellent, mashallah, that you come here for an important reason, and you want to know what to feed yourself and feed your children and how and what your children are going to eat. And you all know the danger of eating non-halal food. Of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man raises his hand and he said, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, in an authentic hadith, his food is from haram, his clothes from haram, everything he gets from haram. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer his dua. So when that luqma, that food you throw in your mouth, it's not from halal, it's not halal in itself, yani it's either earned through money that is haram, through stealing, cheating, selling drugs and everything, and you throw the food in the mouth of your children and in yourself, how can you expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua when you raise your hand, you say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, and your flesh is made from haram wealth and nourished from haram wealth. The second type of haram is the food in itself haram. Like, for example, khanzir, khamra, maita, and so on and so forth. Carrion, and so on and so forth. You cook it and you eat it, and your body, it gets mixed with your body and with your veins, and then you raise your hand, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. How Allah going to accept your dua? طيب, Kitab al-At'ina, the scholars put that in the books of Fiqh to highlight whatever is halal and whatever is haram from food. Of course, with time pass by, the halal and the haram are so mixed. It's very hard today to find an easy halal food you eat. And you have to understand the basic principle in our time. The principle is what? Is we live in the time of fitna. We live in the time of fitna. The basic principle at the time of the Sahaba, they're living in the time of Iman. The basic principle in the time of Tabi'een, they're living under a generation of Iman. As for us today, the preponderant and the majority of things that take place are what? Fitna and haram mixed everywhere. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, there will come a time in our life, there will come a time of my ummah, the ones who's grabbing to his deen is like grabbing to a hot coal. That means to practice your deen properly, as if you're grabbing on a hot coal, it burns your hand. Whether it is by presenting your deen, by showing your deen outwardly, you're criticized. By speaking about certain topics, like the politics of the ummah and the international politics of the ummah and what's happening to the ummah, you're branded by terrorism, or you're branded by extremist, or you're branded by whatever. If you were to even practice your deen at home, by your family, you look like a weirdo. Sah? Not a weirdo, a weirdo. If you were to say music is haram, they look at you upside down as if something wrong with you. So anything you do, you find it difficult. Even when you earn your money. How much of our money mixed with haram? Always, every day you get questions. Drives you crazy. What you also need to understand, that this chapter we're talking about, this is not, as I always teach Imdat al-Fiqh, this is not a lesson of fatawi. If you want fatwa, go type Islamic Q&A, agility, you get the answer. I'm not here to give you an answer quickly. I am here, as it is advertised, that you base your opinion on sound knowledge. I want you to understand the topics, how they are and how the scholars spoke about them. And then you see the difference of opinion and you can understand it. And what we need to understand, that whatever issue we're going to study, and there is a lot of differences of opinion about it, the better is to leave it and not to take the fatwa and to do more than what the fatwa says. Let's just say the fatwa says gelatine is allowed to eat. Sah? Don't just go and buy everything and everything. Just an example. Why? That's the fatwa. But if you want Jannah, you need the taqwa. And the taqwa says what? Fearing Allah says what? To stay away from it. And that's why, no matter what it is, as the Prophet ﷺ in the great hadith said, al-halal ubayyin wal-haram ubayyin. Halal is clear and haram is clear. Yani you ever see someone, Shaykh, is it halal for me to drink alcohol? No. Or is it haram to drink a cup of water? No. Why? Because it's clear. No need for questioning. Bayyin. The layman and the scholar knows it. But the Prophet ﷺ said, in between the umur, mushtabiha. Unknown. Grey area. Faman, what did the hadith say? Faman ittaqa shubuhat. Whomever remains away and restrains from the grey area, he has protected his deen and himself. كَالْرَاعِ يَرْعَى حَوْلَ الْحِمَى يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ. It's like a ra'i, a shepherd, just about his sheep going to eat from the land of the king. You know how the king has a land that no one is allowed to come? He's about to eat, to fall into it, and then to get prosecuted. So what the Prophet ﷺ said, stay away from the grey area. So whatever the fatwa going to come out, or whatever you conclude the correct opinion, that's what we said, there is a difference between the correct opinion and taking the better for your deen. And the successful one, he takes whatever better for his deen. You understand? So these are important principles before we start. The book is not translated in English. That section, only the first section up to chapter of Hajj, is translated to English, which is Umdat al-Fiqh. But they are simple points. So we go through them in point form and we move on, inshaAllah. يَقُولُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ كِتَابُ الْأَطْعِمَةِ. He said, chapter of food, أَطْعِمَةِ. وَهِيَ نَوْعَانِ حَيَوَانٌ وَغَيْرٌ. He said, food are two types. Animals and other. What is other? Vegetables, vegetations. Huh? You are good. Water, drink, all of that. Drink, all of that. So there is what you get, which is from animals, the food, and there is everything else beside that. He said, فَأَمَّ غَيْرُ الْحَيَوَانِ فَكُلُّهُ مُبَحٍ. Anything other than animals, there is no restriction in it. All of it is allowed. Of course, there are exceptions. But generally, yani, do you need the proof that hemp bee is halal or haram? You know what is hemp bee? Like a top of spinach. No really beneath that. And what is the dalil that tabbouleh is halal? Halas, it's food. That is not animals. Here he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He made everything on the face of this earth halal for you. Created for you. So it is from the tayyibat, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, meaning to make for them whatever is good and beneficial, halal. So the basic principle, all fruits and vegetables, what? Halal. All drinks are halal. Pay attention. The basic principle about animals are haram until proven halal. This we'll talk about it more in the chapter of slaughter. Meaning, the basic principle about meat to be haram and you need to prove it halal. Sah? We'll establish this asal properly with the proofs when we get to it. But now just for starting up, getting your appetite ready for a nice barbecue. Huh? He said here, the vegetables, anything that comes from the earth, or a juice that is squeezed from things that come from the earth, is halal. So eating this, all of it, what? Halal. And you don't need a proof to it. Sah? If someone says to you, tomato is haram, or give me the dalil, because we, as the brothers, everything, he asks you about, for example, Shaykh, what is the dalil that television is haram? Yani, I'm going to get you an ayah, I'm going to get you a hadith. Sah? The issue here are some things there is no ayah or hadith. What is the dalil that tomato is halal to eat? There's no dalil. The proof is the basic principle. Allah said the basic principle that all vegetables and fruits are halal. And if you're going to say about something that is haram, I need you to bring me the proof. Because the basic principle for it to be what? Halal. So for me to say it's haram, and I need to provide for you the proof that it is haram. Why? Because the haram is the principle or an exception? Exception. Understand. This matters in dealing with dalil is very important. Because show me your proof. There's no proof. You need to show me the proof. Who needs to provide the proof? This is very important. Because not necessarily that you have to provide the proof. He has to provide the proof. And that's where we need to understand, ya ikhwa, when we speak about, show me your dalil, bro. Show me your dalil, bro. That requires for you to understand, what does it mean, a dalil? Here, the dalil, all fruit and vegetables and juices and all of that are halal. And whatever I'm going to say about it is haram, I need proof. Sah? The brother says, alhamdulillah, now pot is halal. It comes from the ground, it's a herb. I smoke herb, ya Sheikh. Sah? Of course, this is an intoxicant herb that wastes your mind. Hence, it's an exception. It is what? Haram. Kullu muskirin khamr wa kullu khamrin haram. Everything that intoxicates your mind is haram, and everything that intoxicates your mind is khamr, and every khamr is haram. Sah? Finished. Here he said, illa ma kana najisan. Now he's giving you exception about the vegetables and that. He said, except whatever is najas. Najas, yani from the vegetations that have najasa in it. How is that? Like, for example, the vegetation or what comes in the ground that could contain bacteria that could kill you or has filth in it or grew, some ulama say, in an area that where you dump the sewage. The ulama spoke about that. That, for example, a little plant that is, for example, let's just say an orange plant, just the sewage always dumping on it. And that, some scholars said, that oranges it has, it is najis now. Yeah, so to tell you what they mean in najasa in that. Or a drink that is mixed with najasa. Like what? Some countries they drink blood, then they make blood pudding or sah, they make it, they mix with it blood. Like for example, some drink they put some things in there which is najis. Filth najas. Ilmuhim. إلا ما كان نجسا أو مضرا كالسموم فهو محرم لضرره or it is مضر which is harmful like what? Like poison. Poison by principle is what? It's liquid. Because it is poisonous then becomes what? Haram. So based on that, anything that is poisonous, eating it or drinking it is what? Haram. Not even a small amount of it except for medication. Anything that contains poison, ya shabab, is what?
Haram.
Haram. He said, والأشرب كلها مباحة. And drink, all of it is halal. إلا ما أسكر. Except what intoxicate you. Which is intoxicating. فإنه يحرم قليله وكثيره. Then the small amount is haram and the big amount is haram. And we go to talk now about if the food is mixed with a little bit of alcohol. We're going to talk about it. So here, whether it's a small amount or a large amount is what haram. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامٌ. Whatever the big amount of it intoxicate you, then the small amount is haram. Yani, he said here, so whatever a small amount of it and the big amount of it, whatever the big amount of it makes you intoxicated, then the small amount is haram. Yani, beer. Some would say, ya Sheikh, Beer, I only drink a little bit help if we're having a barbecue. I don't get drunk. يعني هلا come on, many glass like this one. عياذ بالله. That much, it doesn't make you intoxicated. And you want to see me get drunk? Of course, you're not going to get drunk. But the Prophet ﷺ already told you, if you drink 5 bottles of this or 10 bottles of this, you're going to get wasted, intoxicated. Then what? The small amount is haram. طيب, listen to what he said, and then we'll talk about some issues to do with it. كل مسكر حرام. He said, أو كثيره من أي شيء كان, whatever it is. Even يعني, under that, smoking marijuana or taking drugs. Because it intoxicates your mind. Also, drinks which are mixed with small amount of alcohol. Let me finish here and I'll answer. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, كل مسكر حرام. Every intoxicant is haram. وما أسكر منه الفرق. Whatever a big amount of it makes you intoxicated, فملء الكف منه حرام. That your handful is, whatever the handful of it is haram. يعني small amount is haram. Now, وما أسكر منه الفرق فملء الكف منه حرام. طيب, here now we come to an issue. We understand from two ahadith so far that whatever big amount makes you drunk, the small amount is haram. Like, we have different types of food today that we eat from or are there in the markets. You have from something like ice cream bars. So, the Cornetto and the stuff you buy for your kids. And you have some food that are cooked in Italian restaurants. He puts your halal in half of the pot. He pours white wine. صح? المهم, according to you, as long as you see the sign halal, even if you've written it, and according to you, I don't care what he does. صح? Here, there are also some types of ice cream, chocolate, found in chocolate stores, which is actually filled and stuffed with rum and other alcoholic drinks. Like, how do we deal with all that? Let's start with the worst one, which is what? The food. That if you have pot of pasta, as the Italians and others, they soak the food with alcohol and then they cook it. Some say that alcohol evaporates. The reality, it did not fully evaporate. The smell is still there, and the flavor is still there, and it's still there. The alcohol not 100% evaporate, and hence, you're not allowed to come near it or eat it. And anyone will tell you, a chef will tell you, it does not fully evaporate. Anyone here is a chef? That marish is no problem. No shame. So here, yani when we studied the matter, we found that this will still, the alcohol remain. And they put it on purpose. Why? So it can give a good flavor for the food. Of course, but it remains there. Not all of it evaporates. صح? And it doesn't go through the process of changing to a different thing altogether. We come down a little bit to a chocolate that is infused with rum. Of course, when you open it, the smell of rum is there, the taste of rum is there, it is stuffed with gooey material which is made from rum. So the alcohol is still there, and that's why it will remain haram. We go now to the lowest. Stuff like ice cream. Now, when they cook this ice cream, even the vanilla essence has alcohol in it. Natural alcohol. That if you eat a lot of it, you'll get intoxicated. All of them will tell you, and the chefs will tell you, that it has some essence. Nutmeg. Who knows what is the nutmeg? Come on, man. What is wrong with you today? No Red Bull, yani? Nutmeg. Have you heard of nutmeg?
Yes.
Well, the Libs know how to eat. They don't know how anything goes. The nutmeg is a spice that it does intoxicate. it causes intoxication if you eat a lot of it. It does intoxicate the person. Why the nutmeg is used to be put in food to make the food taste good. And that's why, I don't know from the Lebanese if you know, there's a special card they make, it's called Khamz al-Khamis. It's full of nutmeg, even when you open it, it has that strong nutmeg smell. Now, is the nutmeg halal or haram? The nutmeg issue, because they only use a small amount, tiny amount to change the flavor of the food, and the small drops of alcohol and whatever is in the vanilla essence put in big, large amount of cooking. Here, some scholars, from the modern scholars, said it is allowed. When they came back, the other party to rebuke and say, how can you say it's allowed? The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامٌ. Whatever the big amount of it makes you intoxicated, the small amount is haram. He said, here, they said, yes, but this little amount usually disappears. And here the hadith, you cannot use it. Why? He said, read the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, whatever big amount makes you drunk, the small amount is haram. Now, if you're going to eat ice cream, 50 corneros, are you going to get drunk or are you going to get a brain freeze and die? Sahib, you're not going to get intoxicated with it. Hence, they said the hadith is not applicable here on these type of food. Sahib, these type of food, it is not applicable. You see, because the small amount disappears and it is not there and it is something else altogether. Now, if you want to avoid it out of taqwa, out of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is your business between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the correct opinion in this matter. Now you say, Shaykh, hang on. If I'm going to get that chocolate stuffed with rum, gooey stuff, and I eat 15 of them, you think I'm going to die, I'm going to get intoxicated, or I'm going to get high sugar level and die? Most likely you're going to get high sugar level. But we say, here the alcohol in its essence is still there. You see? It's still there. And that is the difference, the turning point between the ice cream, that the little bit of amount of alcohol change and gone, and between putting big amount of alcohol inside a cooking pot that after finishing cooking is still there to eat. You see the difference between them or not? You with me, Shabab?
Yes.
And this is the point here. Now we come to beverages, non-alcoholic beverages that taste like beer. Sah? Like they make them. Now, some said, listen carefully, wallahi, the ones which are made by alcoholic companies, because the alcohol companies do not clean the pipes and do not clean all the material they cook with it, the normal beer. So there is a high level that it is mixed, even a small amount, on the drink. One. Some said no matter what, and there is a Syrian sheikh, before the Syrian revolution, he did test and he paid money, his students paid money to examine this, and they got laboratories tested and 100% is mixed with alcohol. But it's such a small number that chemically is disregarded. What does it mean? Meaning when they pour it into the laboratory, if something 0.001, they don't regard it. They say 0.0. That's it, finished to them. Sah? But regardless, it still contains full pure alcohol that is in that drink. That's what he said. Others said companies that make those drinks, those ones which not alcohol affiliated, they got nothing, like for example Schweppes. Sah? They don't do any alcoholic beverages. They do this drinks out of their cooking because the pots and the machinery they cook with, it doesn't mix with alcohol. They said it's halal. Put all of that aside. all the argument, because till now it is not 100% established. I believe that those kind of drinks, it breaks the buffer zone between you and haram first. And it is imitation, and it is imitation of the haram. What does it mean it breaks the door between you and the haram? Ya akhi, the Sharia, when it says, don't hang pictures in your house, why? Not because you're going to worship the pictures. When they say, don't hang pictures of living beings in your house, are you going to go to every time you see it and bow and prostrate? No. Why did the Sharia ask you to remove it? So closing the door on shirk, even though it's not necessarily shirk. Sah? Another example we'll give you. Why did the Prophet ﷺ curse the one who carries and sells and buys the alcohol, even in some ahadith, the one who looks at it? Why? To close the door between you and lusting towards drinking it. Why the Sharia said about غَبْضُ basar, lowering your gaze? Sah? Yes, I know it is an adultery and zina committed by the eyes, but you're not doing, see, you're not committing real zina. No, because it is the door of zina that leads to zina. You see? So drinking this, it creates and opens the door to make the haram easy in your life. Sah? And also, don't forget that you are imitating the people of haram. Yani, if you're not allowed to imitate the kuffar in the dressing that are specialized in, or haircuts that are specialized in. Sah? Yani, the sister who paints, who dye her hair like an actor or like a music star, even she wears hijab. Sah? We say you can't do that. Why? Because you're imitating people of fujur and mujun wal iyadu billah. You see the point here, akhwa? So, and this is called in the Sharia saddu dhara'i, closing the door that leads to haram. Non-alcoholic beverages, even if does not contain alcohol whatsoever, it is bad enough that you're imitating the people who drink it. And wallahi, I knew someone who repented from drinking alcohol. When the market got flooded with this type of drinks, you know what he did? He started every night, he buys 10 or 15 bottles, he puts a little bit of peanuts, a little bit of chips, a little bit of that, maza they call it. This was the drunkens, they do that. The one who drink, they put a little bit of everything, and they sit down and drink alcohol and eat. Sah? Tayyib. He used to do the same thing every night. Of course, this is what? And you just hanging with your teeth in the deen. Ya akhi, taqillah. You see what I mean here. And your son growing up watching this, your son does not really distinguish when he grows up between this and the other way. So to stay away from it is very important. If it is purely proven, which is, I believe it is proven, there are traces of alcohol in it, then it is completely haram. Stay away from it because it's haram. Not because it leads to haram. We understand about this issue. So far, we studied what? That the food, it is animal food and everything else. The basic principle of everything else to be halal, and the basic principle about food from animals, like the meat and that, to be haram until proven halal. And then he said, except whatever is najas. Whatever is najas, haram to eat. That's it. Regardless whether it is from an animal or it is from vegetation. Sah? Or from, yani, fiber. And anything that is poisonous to the body. Cigarettes, it's poisonous to the body. It's haram. Sah? And this is here. What is the dalil? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a principle in the Sharia. There are two principles that play a big role in smoking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to do what? To say whatever is good and pure halal, and whatever harms your body is haram. Whatever is filth is haram. Whatever is khabith is haram. Also, you have another principle in the Sharia, says لا ضرر ولا ضرار. No harm done, no harm caused. يعني you can't harm yourself and you cannot harm others. No harm done for yourself and you cannot cause harm for others. Smoking causes harm for yourself and causes harm for others. So the basic principle, from two principles, the ulama said the smoking is haram. Now somebody says, Ya Shaykh, hang on, hit the brake. Laham. Ibn Abdin rahmatullahi alayhi, the great imam of the Hanafi madhhab, who was a mufti for the Ottomans, and one of the last great imam of the Hanafi madhhab, is known. And most of the Arab ahnaf, yani ulama, they use his book, Hashiyat Ghiyadu. He said, smoking is makruh. And he said, it is disliked. Tayyib. How is it disliked then? When we checked Ibn Abdin, you know why he said it's disliked? He said, it is disliked because of the smell of it when you smoke and go sit in the masjid and the musalla, similar to the onion and garlic. Sah? Why similar to the onion and garlic? Because the onion and garlic has bad smell that comes out of after you eat it and makes the ones who are praying and the angels run away from you. And the cigarettes are the same. So now, فتح مخك معي شوي. Open up the veins in your brains. The reason he used, is it because harmful to the body or it is because this bad smell that comes out afterwards? The bad smell. And we're not talking about the bad smell here. صح? Your socks are worse than cigarettes. طيب. When you come working all day and you're praying and your socks are in front of me, they smell worse than cigarettes. But the cigarettes, ya ikhwa, it is with the consensus of the humans, it harms the body. And it harms the children and harms everyone around. So it is haram because of that reason, not because of the smell. That is the illah. And that befalls under the poisonous drink and food, and falls under the khabith, and falls under la darara wa la darara. Done? So here he said, and we spoke about the intoxicant, we spoke about when alcohol is mixed with food. Now, we come to another important point. He said, wa in takhallalatil khamr. When the khamra becomes venom. When the khamra alcohol becomes vinegar. طيب. بنفسها دون أن يخللها الآدمي فإن تحولت إلى خل وهذا مجبر عليه. He said, إن تخللت الخمر. طيب. This is a matter that is very important in studying the matter of gelatin in the food. Khamra turns to vinegar. Of course, through process, the khamra can turn, afterwards it can turn to vinegar, which it does not becomes an intoxicant anymore, it becomes vinegar. What does it mean? Here, the hadith, the matter is with ijma' that it becomes tahira and halal. No difference of opinion amongst the scholars that if the khamra turns to vinegar, it becomes halal. طيب. يعني you say, Abu Adam, I can buy khamra and turn it to vinegar, or I am a person who's Christian who had a lot of expensive wine in his backyard, and then he became a Muslim. Does he spill it, or he knows the art and he can change it to vinegar? No, we say put it in the drain. You cannot. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came to him, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. He was looking after a wealth for orphans. And that wealth was what? Khamra. And he said, do I turn it to vinegar, Ya Rasulullah? Wealth to orphans. Rasulullah said, Maslaha, yes, you can turn. Did he say that? No. He said, spill it. Throw it, even if it is the wealth of the orphan, because it is haram. You see, here...
And this is the correct opinion. وَإِنْ خُلِّلَتْ, because he said, وَإِنْ خُلِّلَتْ لَمْ تَطْهُرْ, meaning if a human being turns to
vinegar,
it does not become pure. And then he said, correct opinion, that if you have alcohol and you turn it to vinegar, you're still haram and you're not allowed to use it. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ ordered him to spill it, and you didn't spill it and throw it away, so it becomes haram. Now, we come to an issue that is very important, which is if the najasa turns to what?
Pure.
To piwa. And the piwa turns to najasa. What is the answer for that? Now, this is what I want you to concentrate. Which under that becomes the gelatine? The gelatine, with all with agreement of the people of chemistry, صح? الكيميائيون, all of them, they say, can an essence change to another essence? Meaning, can something filth undergoes a chemical reaction and change and become something else? They said yes. And one of it is the gelatine. One of it is the gelatine, which is bones and fats from animals put together and cooked in a certain way until it changes totally to a different substance altogether. Now, of course, today, if we want to get an answer for something, we don't try to do our own ijtihad. We always go to the words of the early scholars and the examples they used. And you'll find the scholars never left anything except they spoken about it. Either through a direct situation or a similar situation that taken place. The ulama all on agreement that if the khamra changed to vinegar is halal. But what about, they gave an example, like a pig or a dog put in a huge amount of salt and left for years. What will happen to it? It turns to salt. I'm going to read to you 2 to 3 main opinions, but I want your patience, please. Yeah? Because this requires slow understanding. And here, as I said, this is not a general lecture, nor a fatwa class, nor a pump-up class. This is ilm. And we have to be bright in our understanding. I'll read to you the madhab of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and the madhab of the Shafi'iyya and the Hanabi. He said here, جَاءَ فِي الْبَحْرِ الرَّائِدِ, a book from the book of Ahnaf. مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي يَكُونُ بِهَا التَّطْهِيرُ انْقِلَابُ الْعَيْنِ. He said, one of the matters that we can change najas to pure is when you change the essence of something. Changing the essence of something. ثم قال فإن كان في الخمر فلا خلاف في الطهارة. If it is in alcohol, there's no disagreement amongst the ulama that if it turns to khal, it is become piwa. صح? It becomes vinegar. Then there is no disagreement amongst the ulama. وإن كان في غيره, this is the point. كالخنزير والميتة تقع في المملحة فتصير ملحا. He said, خنزير, طيب, or carrion, يعني animal that died. It falls into a مملحة, يعني a big pond of salt, or sea water. Listen, sea water, they put a pool, and they put in it sea water to about that, you know, half a meter or something, and they leave it in the sun until it evaporates, and they collect the salt. Now let's just say a dog walked past and slipped and fell and drowned and stayed there. And they left it for years. Until the dog deteriorated and the bones. Remember salt, why they use salt? Because salt is acidic. It has high level of acid. صح? And can actually, it can burn your skin and burn the flesh, the salt. So if it left in it for a very long time, it burns it until it destroys even the bones. صح. He said, فَتَصِيرُ مِلْحًا, it turns to salt. Shuf, the scholars of Islam Somebody will read this and will pass by it like this.
Dog falling into salt and khanzir. Come on, man. Be real. Is that going to ever happen? But you see the scholars when they said these, because subhanAllah, today you use it for so many things, that example they gave. Yukkan. It is allowed to be eaten.
You see? The Hanafi madhab, what did he say?
Of course, khilaf between them. Each madhab, they have scholars who are different.
He said,
وَالْعَذِرَ تَحْتَرِكُ فَتَصِيرُ رَمَادًا تَطْهُرُ. يعني, the feces. That burns and becomes dust. Did it undergo a chemical change or not? Turn to dust. He said it become pure. Meaning, you just say you stepped in it barefooted. In that pond or in that bonfire where there was a stool in it and it burnt. And you step on it. When it's completely burnt, it became ashes. He said, it is what?
Pure.
I tell you something. Why the scholars say about this? Because they also talk about the smoke. Meaning, you're cooking on bonfire. You are having spit. Lamb on a spit. Lamb on a spit. Tayyib. You put sticks of wood. Some of these sticks of wood, a dog urinated on. Dogs urinated on. And still wet of urine. You took it and you put it under the spit. The smoke that comes out, and which is, heats up the food, does that, is this smoke najis or not? That's what the scholars have spoken about. You see? The Ahnaf, they said, no, it is not najis. You know why now you don't feel it? Because you don't go through this today. You don't live it today. You don't do it. Sah? You stone down the stove, you put it. You put it in the electricity, you put the roast beef, close it. After 20 minutes, you eat. Barbecue, cha'i, faham, and that's it. Sah? So you don't live it. You don't live in it. But they was to live it. And it's part of their life to pick up wood and to chop off wood or to have wood in their backyard and dogs urinate on. So they're living it, so they need answers. And that's
Umma ila Muhammad ila Muhammad Aba Hanifa fil Muhammad ila Muhammad Aba Hanifa fil Muhid wa kathir min al mashayikh ikhtaru qawla Muhammad wa fi al khulasa wa alayhi.
So what he said in here, he said Abu Hanifa and Muhammad, another student of Abu Hanifa, and many of the Hanafi mashayikh agreed with Muhammad here. And it's finalized, and this is the fatwa in the Hanafi madhab. Is what? That if it goes chemical change, it becomes halal. Here he said. He said, وَفِي فَتْحِ الْقَدِيرِ. Another book from the Hanafi madhab. Listen, he's going to talk about soap mixed with things. So, concentrate with me. He said, وَفِي فَتْحِ الْقَدِيرِ أَنَّهُ الْمُخْتَارِ. Also in the book of the Hanafi madhab, that they said this is the chosen opinion. لأن الشرع رتب وصف النجاسة على تلك الحقيقة. Why? Because the Sharia put what? Established the ruling on this reality. Meaning, what does it mean? Something is najas, will remain najas until the reason of najasa exists. If it is removed, then the ruling of najasa is removed with it. And that's why the ulama say, الحكم يدور مع علته وجودا أو عدما. Raise yourself a little bit with knowledge. يعني, the ruling to say about something halal and haram, the ruling is if the reason of making it haram still exists, then it's haram. And if the ruling of it is removed, then it's removed. Take an example. This water now, I put intoxicant stuff in it. صح? Now this water becomes haram or not?
Yes.
I removed the intoxicant and I removed anything that intoxicates from the water. It becomes what?
Halal.
He said, since that has changed, it is not najasa anymore, hence the ruling, it's not haram anymore. You see the point? He will use a very important example. وَنَظِيرُهُ فِي الشَّرْعِ النُطْفَ. Listen. He said, similar to this, النُطْفَ. What is the نُطْفَ? The drop of semen. According to the Ahnaf, the drop of semen is what? Impure. The majority, they say, the other scholars, they say, the semen, if it comes on a cloth, it is not impure. It is not impure because it is like the mucus that comes out of
your nose. صح؟ But the Hanafi Mazhab says it's impure. So what he said? He said, this nutfa is impure, but it becomes alaqa, a little clot. صح؟ وهي still najis. وتصير مضغة, and it becomes like a chewed little amount of flesh. And then it becomes what? Pure. You see? Why? Because the baby is what? The little fetus is pure. Comes from what? Impure. So it did go change or not? Otherwise, we the humans, since we originally impure, as a drop of semen, we are impure. See, we went under a change and we become pure, which is we what? Originally, once upon a time, we were not pure. صح? You see the ulama. Now, هو نحنا, if we don't read this stuff, you're not going to know the value of our scholars. And then the brother says, bro, I don't follow any mother, but follow Quran and Sunnah. Take a photo. صح? Wallahi, أنت يا أخي. Wallahi, you don't even come near the toe of Abu Hanifa. He said here, والعصير طاهر فيصير خمرا فينجس ويصير خلا فيطهر. He said, and the juice, it turns to alcohol, then it becomes najas. And it turns to vinegar, it becomes halal. ذلك أن استحالة العين تستتبع زوال الوصف المترتب عليه. He said, استحالة العين, that meaning the essence of something, when it changes and becomes something else, it becomes pure. Here he said, in Hashir ibn Abdin, he said, إن العلة عند محمد. He's going, Ibn Abdin rahimahullah, because he was modern, relating, comparing to the early scholars, because he lived towards the end of the Ottomans. So his fatawi, he's got a lot of fatawi. He's one of the first to speak about insurance, by the way. Insurance, when it started in boats from Europe, and was important to where? To the Muslim land. So the issue of insurance, he is the first one to talk about it. And he is regarded one of the great scholars of Islam. He said here, the illa, the reason according to Muhammad, that, yani Muhammad, the student of Bahifa, it is that the reality in it changed. He said, وَأَنَّهُ يُفْتَى بِهِ لِلْبَلْوَى وَانْقِلَابُ الْحَوَانَهُ يُفْتَى. And the fatwa is according to it, لِلْبَلْوَى. You know what it means, بَلْوَى? Because now it becomes so wide and common in everything. So how can we, يعني take the harder opinion? يعني there is عمت به البلوى. When something becomes wide and problematic, you need a solution for it. You see? So here he said, ومقتصاه عدم اختصاص ذلك الحكم بالصابون الذي صنع من زيت النجس. صح؟ فيدخل فيه ما كان فيه تغير وانقلاب الحقيقة وانقلاب حقيقته. He said here, and also what it means, واختصاص ذلك الحكم بالصابون. It's now saying this ruling about the soap that impurity enters to it. He said here, the soap here, which is made from soap that is najas, فيدخل فيه كل ما كان فيه تغيير وانقلاب الحقيقة. يعني the soap, if it's made from oil that comes from impurities and went under that change, that soap is allowed to use. And this is when we ask, now we're still talking according to Ahnaf, when we ask about the Sheikh, this soap, it can have some fat from animals. He said, but this is all change. It's now soap. You see? It's now soap. He's saying it changed. He said, وَكَانَ فِيهِ بَلْوَةٌ عَامَّةٌ. It is, there is a great calamity to say it is haram. فَيُقَالُ كَذَلِكَ فِي الدِّبْسِ الْمَطْبُوخِ إِذَا كَانَ ذَبِيبَةً مُتَنَجِّسًا وَلَا سِيَّمَا أَنَّ الْفَأْ. طيب, I don't want to go through this, but as long as we can understand about the issue of the soap. Now, inshallah, we have started up to talking and introducing يعني, the matter of al-istihad. The matter of istihala, which is undergoing a change of matters. طيب, to summarize what we learned today in a point form very quickly so we can walk out with the conclusion. Now, first we learned what?
Two types of food.
Two types of food.
animal and non-animal, vegetables and drinks. We said the basic principle about all of them is halal. The animals is haram until proven halal. We move to a second point. We said also, except that is what is poisonous, is haram. And whatever is harmful to the body, like cigarettes, and we've proven the cigarettes is haram. We moved a little bit to talk about also that intoxicant. And we said, if it is intoxicant, and the intoxicant, the khamar, the wine or whatever, remain in the food, with its taste and smell and still strong there, that means it did not change, it's still there, it's still haram. If you're going to talk about things with the little drops, and it went under chemical change, it's not there anymore, then it becomes halal, permissible to eat. Sah? We say permissible to eat. We said al-khamra, if it changes to vinegar, then it becomes halal. But if it's done through a human process, yani you cooked it as a Muslim, then you can still not eat. Now we come to the issue of also the gelatin. We sell the gelatin. So far, according to the Hanafi madhab, it is allowed. We will continue the Malikiya and the Shafi'iyya. خلاص, I'm going to bring the Malikiyya. So the North Africans are going to upset. And the Shafi'iyya and the Hanabila, and then we come with the conclusion. Ikhwa, this is how I teach. I don't like teaching you with one dalil and you walk away. This is called fatwa. But I want you to settle in your brains to know why. Ilm is not to know the answer. Ilm is to know why the answer came like this. Sah? So this way you do not hesitate and you do not have second and third thoughts, and you know the knowledge is based on correct knowledge. Right? Now we leave the time inshaAllah. Also I wanted to talk, I prepared to talk about the rennet, but obviously we don't have time for that, subhanAllah al-Azim. But we leave some time for the question and answers inshaAllah.
Did he use the example of the pastor that tells you he's alcoholic?
Yeah.
He said it's not allowed. But even if you take off the pasta, you're not going to get drunk. Then you use the example of the ice cream, and you said you're allowed, and you use your dalil, because if you eat 10 ice cream, you're going to get drunk. Mm. Eating both 10 times isn't going to get drunk. So why is this, you're saying this is pure alcohol, and it's not. It's alcohol.
No. That you're talking about, I think the point not understood. Continue the question.
You said that there's a point of alcohol in the ice cream. Then you base the dalil that you can eat it, because if you eat it 10 times, you're not going to get drunk. And you base the hadith, Rasulullah said, what's big gets you drunk, so what's haram. Mm-hmm. So you use it on the ice cream. That lady said no, that ice cream is not haram with the vanilla essence, the alcohol, because if you eat 10 of them, you're going to get drunk. Then you forbidden the pasta with the alcohol in it, but the pasta is also, if you eat 10 bowls of pasta, you're not going to get drunk. Well, that's pure alcohol, but that's alcohol. It's on the ingredients, it's actual alcohol.
Good question. I think I probably did not make my point clear, but there's a misunderstanding. Akhi, I said the separation between the two points here. This is alcohol, and in the pasta, if you eat 10 bowls of pasta that is cooked with alcohol, it's not going to make you drunk. This is true. But the issue here is the alcohol there and still there. Meaning, it didn't go under full chemical change. But when you put essence of vanilla, or nutmeg, or a little bit of drops of alcohol in a big bowl of ice cream, the big amount of it has done the chemical change and it's gone anyway.
So it's not alcohol, then why is it labeled as
alcohol? Labeled because this is in the laws of Australia, they have to tell you every ingredient and everything.
Even if, as you're saying, it's changed state. If something changed,
it doesn't matter.
Gelatine, why didn't they name gelatine as fat? Because it's changed state to gelatine.
Yes.
But this is, now they're contradicting each other, because of ice cream, if it's changed state, they would label to what it's changed to, not to the...
But, yes, but the Australian regulation says all these things they put in, there has to be mentioned. There has to be mentioned. The other one, it's already a gelatin, which is a new product altogether. The element of cooking. You go, for example, to... because they put a lot of preservatives and things, they have to mention everything that is in it. Even though the product is cake, you can tell, this is a cake, khalas. You see? So that is the difference between the two. The other one is still there, still in the soup
Still in the mar'a, still in the food. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong on this. Yes, the other one is gone. Yani, if I will tell you to pinpoint it and bring it up, you can't. The other one is in the soup. You smell it, it's there, and they put half of it. I don't know, I've never tasted it. And another went to a restaurant, they serve it, and alhamdulillah. But I've seen cooking shows, he puts half the bottle inside.
Yeah.
What kind of cooking you going to do? A fire to remove this, all of it. This is still there. And the soup is still there. And it's a key ingredient. Different, they're putting a few drops in a bowl, a huge bowl. By the end of the day, I went to an ice cream shop. I went in and asked him, is your ice cream contain alcohol? He said, all of it is alcohol. See you later. Even though it changed, even after I eat 50, there's a fatwa. I can take the fatwa that I give and eat myself. Sah, but not necessarily that you need to follow it or you shouldn't be following it. You see, that's what I told you in the beginning. There's a taqwa, which I advocate taqwa for you. But when I give you the fatwa, which is the ulama gave, I can't tell you it's haram and you're sinning and it's a major sin and you're going to Jahannam and you're drinking alcohol. That is not in my hand. This is where you need to draw the line. There's a brother here, Adnan, inshallah, we'll take it.
Sorry, now I was just going to give a similar sort of comparison, like with the volume of water, body of water. If a dog was to urinate in the bucket or in a dam, the difference you can make wudu from the water of a dam, but not in the bucket.
Exactly, jazakallah khair. We just use this example. The brother said an example, which is we learnt it in fiqh. Remember? Yes, we learnt it in fiqh. We said that if someone uses in two bowls, two bowls of water, one you put a drop of urine, or you put somebody urinated in a bowl of water, the same person to urinate in a swimming pool 30,000 liters of water, or in a big pond of water, that big pond, it does not become najas. Why? Because it's a huge amount of water, and the water takatha, it increased, and the characteristics of urine got dissolved in the water. But when you in a small bowl, you can see it there, smell it there, everything is there. Now,